Before Joe starts, I just wanted to thank us all to see how God just works so marvelously. Joe and Natalie are part of their seeds, which they have many. That's why we are here. And I just wanted to add a P.S. to last night's heartfelt testimony of meekness, true meekness, that God has sovereign, and we witnessed meekness in the form of Carol. And I felt at the time that we needed to sing, and I didn't obey, so I would like us to sing. He is holding my hand. Carol, we don't even need the music for most, but you do. He's holding my hand.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that I'm here. I don't have anything to say unless it comes from you, Lord. So let me say what you want said, and let be heard what you want heard. And we thank you and praise your holy name. Amen. Bob and Betty kind of take care of us back in Wells, Maine. Provide a lot of meals, take care of our flowers, so forth, and they're really good friends, and thank you. Little did I know, last October when I went to lunch, there's no free lunch, you know. I went to lunch with Natalie Pelham and Courtney, Nathan, David Hodges, and two teenagers showed up in a white convertible named Carol and Judy. You should have seen them. It was really something, riding around with the top down. And I thought I was getting a free lunch, but during the lunch they David Hodges said, wouldn't you like to speak at Winnie next year? Caught me by surprise. And I said, after a little prodding and talking, I said, well, okay, I'll do it, you know. But I said, I don't have anything to talk about, really. And I'll never say that again. So anyways, they brought it up at the council ring, and sure enough, they got David Hawks here, my good friend David from Acadia, and myself to do these sort of lamplighter morning talks. I think most of you know that I had brain surgery in February, and it's wonderful how God works things out. You saw that picture of the brain last night. It's sort of a nice introduction to what I'm going to say. Last summer, I was at a camp over across the mountains here, Camp Calumet, where I'm known as Judy's dad. Now, I'm getting to be called that more and more. And I have a funny story connected with that. When Judy lived in Massachusetts, she did the music at a church in Holliston. And the pastor there told me that he went into a music store to buy some music. And the clerk in the Christian music store said, "What church are you from?" And he named the church. And she said, "Oh, that's Judy's church." So anyways, I was over at that camp sitting on the porch in a plastic garden chair with all plastic, you've seen them. And all of a sudden, the right back leg just snapped off. And I went backwards into a wall and hit my head and strained my neck a little bit and shoulder. And I seemed to recover from that all right. And then later in December, I was visiting with some good friends. And I went to leave, and in the meantime, it had rained lightly and frozen. And went out the door and did a flip, hit my head on the ground, and got knocked out, had a concussion, and was taken to York Hospital in Maine. I seemed to be okay. I recovered fine, and but they took a picture of my brain. I guess it's a CAT scan. And they said, "We want to check that out before you go to make sure everything's okay." I said, "Fine." And about a half an hour later, they came in, and the doctor said, "Good news, we got the picture, and there's nothing in there." He actually said that. I said, "What does that mean?" He says, "It means..." "Does it mean nothing happened? You haven't got any tumors, you haven't got any bleeding, you're okay, you know?" So, and it was a very stormy night, and I said, "Now, how am I going to get home?" And they said, "Well, we could admit you, but they said that would cost you a lot of money, you know." I called Bob up, and Bob had been advised not to go out, the roads were too icy. So I told the hospital that, and they finally said, "Well, we got a guy who goes out in anything," and they found this guy who does driving for them, and he drove me about the 15 miles to my home. And I forgot about it. I thought everything was fine. As time went on, something was happening, a slow leak, sort of like a tire with a slow leak. You know, you leaks a little there, but you don't notice it. My brain, I guess, was slowly leaking blood into my head, both sides. They call it a bilateral subdural hematoma. Did I say it right? Okay. So I was scheduled to go to the North Florida CFO in February. And we'd been going there for several years. We had a place in Florida for 22 years, and we went there a lot. And Judy was going to do the music. And I said to Natalie, I said, "You mind if I get down for a week?" And she urged me to do it. So I signed up and got my airplane tickets. I went down a day early on Saturday and stayed with the Cries and their place in Sarasota. And then Sunday morning, I drove to Orlando to pick Judy up and go to the camp. I met Judy when she got off the plane, and she said, "What's wrong with you? You're shuffling." And I said, "Oh, I'm just a little weary of ice, you know." And she said, "Well, there's no ice in Orlando." So I said, "Yeah, that's true, but I'm just in the habit of shuffling now." So we got in the rental car, and I said to Judy, "I got to get this car changed because it's moving out of the lane and something's wrong with it, you know." And as we drove along, she kept correcting me and saying, "Dad, you're out of the lane, you know." And we finally got to the CFO and checked in. And Nothing more was said about the driving. So I guess I went one day, and the next day I didn't feel that good. I missed a meal, and Judy says that's the first meal she's ever seen me miss. And I went up to my room and decided to take a nap, and I missed dinner, evening dinner. So Judy came over with Stan Carter and said, we think you should go to the emergency room. And I was in a mood to say, oh, I don't know, you know. But thankfully, they insisted, and they called 911, and the emergency people came. And if they hadn't come and I hadn't gone, I probably would have just gone to sleep that night and never gotten up again. So it was, I can say that Judy and with Stan's help saved my life that evening. So I went to the emergency room, and the EMTs couldn't find anything wrong with me. So they told the emergency room, oh, he's just an old man with a sinus headache. So we sat around and waited. How long, Judy? Several hours? 3 hours. And they finally got to me, and they started taking x-rays and CAT scans, and while they were doing that, I collapsed, woke up again. And luckily, we had a very good doctor, emergency room doctor, who immediately recognized the problem. If you remember the picture of the brain last night, you saw the white spot for the problem. What was it? Aneurysm. Well, when they showed me my picture later, I saw it in Wells, Maine, from my own doctor. They sent it to him. The aneurysm was white. My whole brain, both sides, was white, which is all blood pushing down. And if I read what the emergency room doctor told Judy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, he said that he'd never seen anybody come into an emergency room in this condition that wasn't comatose or dead. So that's interesting. That goes along with there's nothing in there. Anyways, before we left, a theme of this is let go and let God. And before I left the North Florida CFO, I gave my wallet and my keys to the car and my cell phone to Judy, and I said, Judy, you're in charge, take over. And then a little later, after the doctor talked to me and said he was calling, I guess he talked to you, not me, he told me. He called Atlanta and Miami and a few other places to find a surgeon. Finally, we found one in Daytona Beach, and they ordered a helicopter, which came. They wheeled me in the helicopter. And at this point, I want to say that I really let go and let God. And I thought of the real presence of Christ in the communion. And I thought of, I know it right at that instant, but at least later I thought of the chapter 6 of John's Gospel. It says, I abide in you, and you abide in me. And I was able to say, well, Jesus, I'm helpless here. You've got to take over, because I can't do a thing. And I had the most wonderful peace. I can't explain it. But I didn't think of anything except peace. I wasn't worried about living or dying or having brain damage or anything. And It was a wonderful thing. And there seems to be levels of letting go. We often let go of some things. And I don't know, at least in my experience, your experience may be different. But there are those times when you really let go. And that was one for me. And that was was just a great experience. And if I try to explain it, it'll take away from it. But anyways, the next thing I was awake all through the helicopter ride, talking to the attendants. Then the next thing I remember is being wheeled into the hospital. And then it was I woke up in intensive care. I had two hoses coming out of my head. About 24 staples where they cut me open. A breathing apparatus over my nose and mouth. I saw a picture she took later. It looked like a man from Mars. It's amazing. But when you're in intensive care, you're not yourself, and everything was fine. And I just want to say, I guess by that time you had been on Facebook, and I could feel the prayers from all over the country, I guess, out and down the East Coast, of people praying for me. I don't know how to explain that either, but you could feel it. You knew you were in God's hands, and there wasn't, in a sense, a care in the world. Wonderful things happened. Judy had to get over to Daytona Beach from Central Florida, and the cries went with her and brought another car along to take Betty back when she left. What was also amazing is that Carol had a break in her schedule, and she jumped on a plane to be with Judy and help her, and I can't tell you how grateful I am and how God works things out. Here we are in the Halifax Hospital in Daytona Beach, and the burden of the world is on Judy, not on me. And Carol, as a sister in Christ, jumps on a plane and comes down and holds her hand through all this and does a lot of talking with the hospital and so on and so forth. And other people came. An Anglican priest from Frederick in New Brunswick came, and I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and I knew he came in to visit me, and I said, "How long were you with me?" And he said, "Oh, we talked for 3 hours." I said, "Uh-oh." What did I say? He says, "Nothing to worry about." let's see. A lot of other people came. People from, I guess, my church in Maine called some folks who had moved to Florida, and they came to see me. And Judy went around and met all the Lutheran pastors in the area, and they all came in to see me. I was getting to the point where I don't want to see any more of you people. But intensive care, I don't remember much about it, very little, to be honest. I do remember one episode, and I probably shouldn't repeat it, but I think I asked for a drink of water, and the nurse said to me, "I'm too busy with paperwork. I can't get it for you, you know." So in the condition I was in, not having all my brains going, I decided, well, I'll get it myself. And I'm hitched up with all kinds of stuff, and the sides of the bed are up. And somehow or other, I climbed over that and landed on the floor and caused a general alarm in the hospital. And I guess Carol adjudicated that with the hospital pretty well. my daughter said, just don't give him that nursing. You know? So we, from there, I want to say this is, we went to a rehabilitation hospital in Jacksonville, and that was really nice. You know, this wasn't a bad thing. This was a real good experience of really feeling the presence of God and feeling held up by Him. And in the rehab hospital, I think we had a terrific time. Judy made friends with everybody. In fact, they had the chaplain came in and said he had a little service on Sunday. And he said, isn't very good because we don't have anybody to play the organ. And so you know who ends up playing the organ. And that was an interesting thing. And the rehab process was fun for me. And nobody could understand that. I mean, this is crazy, you know. I'm not supposed to be able to do anything. And they had Wii games for rehab, bowling, tennis, and boxing. And so you did that. And then we had these tables where they got people to discuss things. And they started talking about Model Ts. And my son, Paul, who I guess he's downstairs now, he owns a couple of Model Ts. And so we got him on the phone, and these old gents that were there with me who loved old cars were trying to stump him. They couldn't stump him on anything about Model Ts. So that turned out to be fun. There were all kinds of activities that I really enjoyed, and that took care of rehab in Jacksonville. And they let me out in a week, and I think they wondered at that, that I shouldn't have been there a lot longer. So we started to drive home. Judy got a car, and we had a good time. You know, it was really a good time for me to be with her alone, you know. She doesn't talk to anybody usually, but I had her all to myself for a week. Oh, 3 weeks. Four weeks? Okay. So we drove from Jacksonville to her home in Stafford, Virginia. And we were going to drive on to Maine the next day. But I woke up with a blood clot, which was in my left ankle. And Brent, Judy's wife, said, Judy's husband. He shoot me if he hears that. Said, you better go down to the emergency room. Well, not another emergency room, you know. Sit around, wait there all day. And anyways, we went down into a brand new hospital, first day it's open. No one's there except the staff. We go in and I get treated like royalty, you know. So the blood clot, you know, they're serious, but this one stabilized, I guess, that's what you call it. And they sent me along my way after coming back and being checked the next day in a big snowstorm in Virginia, which nobody can get out of their driveways in, but we did. Brent took me down, and that was fun to sit with my son-in-law for a half a day, almost a day spent with him. And they said I was okay to go home, and we drove on to Maine, and I had that blood clot checked a few times at the York Hospital, and they said, don't worry about it, it's going to be all right. So that was the saga of having nothing to talk about. But the point I want to make is, you know, this was a, you could say this was a very bad year, but it was a very good year. I'm in the financial business, or I'm retired as of December 31st, but it's probably been the worst year in the financial business since I can remember. Not so much for me, but I felt bad for a lot of people. I was no longer handling accounts or anything. I was getting out, so I didn't have the burden of it. But there were a lot of sad stories. A lot of people lost half their life savings. A lot of people were just really depressed by the whole thing. And one of the things that's always been on my mind for years is, who is my God? Is it my investment portfolio? Or is it God? And I'm really happy to say that it didn't bother me one bit. That investment portfolio was not God. You know, it isn't. And I was really thankful for that feeling that, you know, it's got nothing to do with being a God. And so that was good. The experience, the medical experience was very good. The fact that all these people all over the Eastern Seaboard were praying for me and holding me up in prayer was magnificent. Just couldn't believe it. My son Paul's going through a difficult divorce and custody thing, and that seems to be working out. There's a trial scheduled for next week. I'm sure he'd love to have your prayers about that. Amen. And pray for the other side too. I think we want God to bless those that don't agree with us too. And of course, Natalie is continues on with a good attitude, very supportive, even though her heart's beating at 15% of capacity, and she has a lot of other problems. She's got a very good attitude, and she just leans on God, and everything is going to be fine. So I think this is a good place to stop. I'm going to talk about money, I hope, because that's my business, Wednesday and Friday or some other things. We'll see where God leads us, but I really can't believe how things get orchestrated in CFO. You know, the two morning meditations were just exactly what I believe and are leading into. And thank Bess and Earl very much for what they did. The talk last night, obviously, what can I say? So I hope we'll go on to another topic on Wednesday, and thanks for all your prayers and help, and praise God. Thank you. Amen.